Man, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 21, verse number 11. I just want to read two scriptures. It said, "The burden of Duma he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night?" The watchman said, "The morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come." Amen. In the days of old, in the days of the old kingdoms in Israel and places around, they had watchmen that they would set upon towers, or maybe even the wall of the city. Or if they didn't have a wall, they would set them up on the highest building. And the watchmen, they had different watches throughout the day and throughout the night. And the watchman would sit there, and his job was to look for the enemy that would be approaching. Amen. His job was to look and to stay on guard and to look around the perimeter of his city, wherever he was watching. And if the enemy was coming, it was his job to yell out warnings. Hey, the enemy approaches. The enemy's coming. Amen. And to warn the people of that city that they need to grab their weapons and be on guard. Now, it was not his job to go throughout the city and to survey the damage after the enemy had came and ransacked the village. Hear me tonight. Amen. It was not his job to go and identify the dead bodies. But it was his job to warn before the enemy ever got there. Amen. Could I tell you tonight that in the house of God, we're doing a fine job of mourning over the dead. And we're doing a good job of comforting the sick after cancer has set in on their bodies. And we're doing a good job of comforting moms and dads after the divorce has been settled. But the job of the church is not just to comfort afterwards, but to have a burden before the devil ever gets there. Can you say amen? I want to preach to you tonight, if God would help me, on when guilt replaces a burden. Amen. I can remember growing up how the old saints used to come, and it was nothing to walk in church an hour early, and there'd be moaning in the pews and a crying. Amen. And sometimes you'd say, "Hey, are you going out to eat with us?" And you'd call them on the phone and say, "Hey, you want to go here? You want to go to town?" And they'd say, "No, I've got a burden for so-and-so. I need to stay home and pray." But can I tell you today that it right in the holiness ranks that we've hung our burdens up on the coat racks and we've taken up with entertainment? I've never seen the likes in a day and hour where we can make entertainment out of Walmart. And I like Walmart. Amen. But we can make more entertainment out of Walmart. We left off for praying in the altar. We don't have a burden anymore for people that's a dying and going to hell. And then after the enemy's rode through a home, after the enemy's torn apart a family, we sit around and wonder what happened. Amen. It was not the watchman's job to survey damage. It was his job to warn ahead of time so that there would be no damage. Amen. Webster said that a burden is something that's carried. And in the Bible, there's about four Greek words that the word burden, amen, has been translated from. One means something that was carried on the shoulders. The other meant something that was carried like clothing all the time. You never took it off. God help us today to learn what it is. Amen. I notice you got some young people here and they sang great. Thank God for them. Amen. But you want to keep them in church. You want to get them closer to God. Teach them how to have a burden for people that are on their way to hell. Teach them how to have a burden for the backslider. Have a burden for the lost sinner. Amen. Have a burden for people that are in trouble. Amen. Thank God for the old gray-haired warriors. When I was a boy coming up, that would call me or catch me at church and say, "Son, I've had a burden for you this week. I've been praying that God would keep you and help you." And so when temptation was come, when the alcohol was offered, when the marijuana was offered, amen, I had the ability and the strength to say no, amen, because somebody had a burden for my soul. Amen. I hope you'll help me tonight. Amen. But you know what? Today the church is more filled up with guilt than we are a burden. You know what guilt means? Amen. Webster says, and you say, boy, you're quoting Webster a lot, his own dictionary of God. Amen. But Webster says that guilt is a feeling of condemnation or blame for being inadequate. Amen. Could I tell you tonight that burden and guilt have some similarities? They both will cause you to cry. Amen. They both will cause you to pray. They both will cause you to have sorrow. But one is ordained of God and will come before the problem and will stop problems. And the other one comes after, and it's just feelings of being inadequate. I wonder today when sinners walk in the church and they see us crying, amen, is it guilt or is it a burden? Amen. Are we down praying saying, God, I feel a storm coming? Or are we sitting down there saying, oh God, I should have fasted one more wheel, amen, meal. I should have prayed one more hour. I should have sang one more verse. Listen, church, we don't need guilt, but we need a burden for people today. Amen. The church needs to learn how to act instead of react. Oh, it's great when we run to the hospital after somebody's had half of their internal organs taken out with cancer. Amen. It's fine. We run down to social services and comfort that, amen, that now fatherless child after the divorce papers have been signed. Amen. Thank you very much for your comfort. But oh, wouldn't it have been better if we'd have got a burden before the divorce papers were ever signed? Amen. Wouldn't it have been good if we'd have had a burden before that young lady gave up her purity and now she's found with child? Amen. The church today, amen, it's good if we raise fatherless children. But wouldn't it have been better if we'd have spent a little more time praying? Amen. And that young lady would have never messed up. That young man would have never sold out. Amen. He would have never picked up the pornographic magazine if we'd have just had a burden. Now we're faced with nothing but guilt. Amen. Amen. You know I'm preaching you the truth. I hear stories all the time. Amen. Down home, everywhere I go. Amen. And it seems, I told somebody the other day, you know, it used to be that there was a difference between North and South. And I guess accent-wise, there probably is. But due to the interstates and the internet and the telephone and everything else, it seems like cultures are blending. Towns are looking the same. And you know what? Sin. It seems like the same sin here, sin everywhere. Amen. I'm telling you today, I've seen holiness young people be arrested. Amen. I've seen holiness young men and women, amen, get in all kind of trouble when they had a good mom and daddy at home. But mom and daddy was more interested in getting in bed early, leaving when the altar call was going on. God help us today. The hardest time to get out of the door, to get in your car, is at altar time. Amen. Because people's leaving. Oh, but then they come back to the pastor. They say, Brother Benny, what happened? What went wrong? I feel so guilty for my children. Yes, you do. And yes, you can pray, but the damage has been done. If you'd have just had a burden before the problem ever got there. Amen. Amen. I see moms and dads all the time that come. I've been youth pastor at two separate churches. And they come and they say, oh, amen, oh, Brother Larry, I want my children to get help. And I've seen their children come to the altar and pray. And mom and dad sat in the back pew and talked the whole time that their children were in. Don't get quiet on me now. You're saying amen. Just saying, say it. You know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Oh, listen to me. We come to camp meeting and people park their cars in the parking lot where they can get out the quickest. Say amen. I told my wife, we parked at one not too long ago. She said, we'll never get out. I said, hey, we're here till it's over. I've got no intentions of leaving early. Amen. I go to church to have church. I go to church to see people saved. I want to have a burden in my ministry. I want to have a burden for my children at home, for my two boys at home. I want to have a burden for my wife. I don't want to come up here and tell you some stories about how my boy got caught up in sin and hand you nothing but guilt. Amen. Guilt follows, but a burden precedes. There's a lot of troubles that we don't have to go through if we just get a burden. Amen. Amen. Had a watchman would be up there, and he'd be up on top of that city, and he'd be looking. And all the way off in the distance, he'd see a cloud of dust. And he'd look. Amen. And he'd holler, "Riders approaching." And he'd look and look. And if he didn't recognize their armor or their insignias, he'd begin to holler out. Amen. "Captain of the guard, make ready. The enemy's coming. The enemy's coming." And the army of that city, amen, would gather up their chariots. And the leaders of the military would grab their weapons and their spears. And they would ride out to meet the enemy. And so often the city was spared because the watchman cried out. Listen, the preachers are not the only watchmen. But you're the watchman of your family, daddy. Amen. You're the watchman of your children, mama. Amen. Deacons were the watchmen of the church. God help us today to warn ahead of time before people get in trouble and we're left with nothing but guilt because we feel inadequate. Now, if I asked you to raise your hands tonight, amen, ask each of you how many of you believe God can do everything, I would just imagine that all of you would raise your hands. Amen. And we blame everything on the book of Revelations. All people can't be saved because Revelation said it'd be so. All people's backsliding because Matthew said there'd be a great falling away. We blame stuff on end time prophecy. We blame a holiness standard for things that it's not guilty of. We say that we have empty pews because we preach a holiness standard. I got news for you. The reason we've got empty pews, and I'm not picking on any of these empty pews. We've got them in my church. But the reason, amen, listen, I'm not trying to brag. God forgive me, amen, if you think that. But I went down to the church where I'm at now. Amen. I took our young people on the door-to-door visitation. Our church has been there since about 50 years. I believe 1940-something when it was built. And the people in that community, even the people in the church, said this is the first time this church has ever had a door-to-door visitation. God help us today. Amen. We sit on the pew. We blame prophecy. We blame the holiness standard. Why people are not being saved. I'll tell you why. Because we've come down off the wall. We don't have a burden anymore. Amen. We go home. We go to bed. We eat. Amen. And we drink. And we be merry. And we don't worry about anybody else. Amen. Now, I know you don't want to carry a burden. I don't always want to carry one. The book of Numbers, Moses, amen, was crying. And he said, "And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me?" Amen. No doubt your pastors went home many times and said, "God, it's just too great a load to bear." You know why? Sometimes, amen, even Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, rode down to see him. Amen. And he said to Moses, "Moses, you're sitting up here all day long. You're judging these people. It's going to kill you." I'm paraphrasing. Amen. "It's going to wear you out. It's too much of a load." He said, "What you need to do is find you some good men and let them set them out as judges and let them help you." And the Bible said that his counsel was of the Lord. What am I saying today? I'm saying that Brother Benny does not need to be the only one carrying a burden, but there needs to be some people in this church that are willing to come here early and stay late. Amen. And pray till somebody gets saved. Amen. Pray till the cancer's healed. Pray till the marriage is put back together. Pray, amen, until the jail doors are open. Amen. Pray until the teenager quits rebelling. Amen. Pray until we see the hand of God. Amen. Amen. But you see, God will never put a burden upon us that we can't carry. Amen. He told Moses, he said, "I will come down and talk with thee there," in Numbers 11:17. He said, "And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's not just the pastor's job or the assistant pastor or the youth director. It's not just their job to look out for the well-being. But whether you know it or not, it's every one of our responsibilities to carry a burden for everyone else. Amen. Come on now. I know people work. Amen. Seem like people work more overtime than they ever have. I know men are tired when they come to the house of God, but how dare you to go to a job, amen, that doesn't care nothing about you. Give them 150%. Come to the house of God, fall asleep on the pew, barely give God 60% and say He's number one in your life. God, help us to get a burden tonight and stop the enemy from destroying our cities. Amen. Amen. I told somebody the other day, I can remember when Alabama was not as heavy populated, and remember when the cities were smaller, and I rode out to different places and I saw large cities and went to Chicago and places like that, and I said, oh, I wish we was like that. And I've watched over the years as our cities have grown. I've watched Birmingham grow. Amen. I watched them destroy the Sunday liquor laws, where at one time you couldn't buy alcohol on Sundays. Now you can get it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Amen. I read in the paper where the very high school I graduated from, they gunned a 16-year-old boy down in the band room, chased him across the yard, gunned him down as he ran up the steps of the band room, all because they wanted his leather jacket. Amen. Oh, is it just a sign of the times? A lot of it is a sign that the church has stopped praying. You know what? Birmingham has twice as many people as it used to, but it has half as many homeless churches as it used to. Amen. Oh, come on now. There was a time. Oh yeah, we got some of the best music. We got some big churches, hold 5, 6, 7,000 people with great cathedral ceilings, great choirs, live orchestras, but they don't have enough of a burden to break open a vineyard. Amen. A hen egg. I'm telling you today, what we need is a burden to rescue our nation from going to hell. Amen. Amen. Galatians says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Romans 15, 1 and 2 said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Oh, God, help us today to realize that people are dying and going to hell, and we have the ability to stop it. Amen. Nothing is too hard for God. But oh, as I preached the other night, He said in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, He said, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Shall humble themselves. We can quote it. It's like a nursery rhyme in most holiness churches. We can quote it, but we just don't do it. Shall humble themselves and pray. Amen. And turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. I might have them in the wrong order, but that's all four of them. Amen. Then will I hear from heaven. Amen. And will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. I imagine that in Flatwoods, Kentucky, or Birmingham, Alabama, or Chicago, Illinois, amen, wherever you're from tonight, amen, that you've got family that need to be saved. Amen. No doubt you've seen more divorces. Amen. No doubt. Amen. We've got people that we know that we never thought would get an abortion, but they've aborted their babies. God help the church to quit wagging their head. God help us to quit having guilt at what we should have done. Help us to get a burden and stop the sin from raging in our homes. Amen. Amen. I'm on a hurry. I'm not long-winded. I don't ever preach over 6 hours. Amen. No, I don't ever preach that long. Amen. But you know, a burden brings deliverance. Isaiah 10 and 27 said, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off of thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The burden brings an anointing to our services. Amen. Come on now. I can remember going to church and people say, I've been fasting and praying all day long. Do you know Wednesday night is no more these days than just a ritual for most holiness people? Amen. Come on now. I said it's no more than a ritual, and we do it because we're afraid the pastor's going to call us if we don't show up. There was a time when Wednesday night was a very important night, or Tuesday or Thursday, whenever you have your midweek service. There was a time people would fast and pray for every service that their church had. Amen. There was a time when people would do chain fast before they had revival, and God would come by and they'd see their family saved. They'd see the alcoholic cured. Amen. They'd see the drug addict flush their drugs down the toilet. Amen. You know why? Because they carried a burden in their heart or on their shoulders. Amen. Come on now. When's the last time God woke you up in the middle of the night with a heavy burden? You know why God doesn't wake us up anymore? He got tired of waking us up and us telling him we're wanting to go back to sleep. Amen. Amen. I heard one brother say, he said he was laying in bed and the next door neighbor's dog got to barking and barking. Woke him up. He said, that dog don't ever bark. I mean, he never barks. And said he laid there and the dog kept a going and kept a barking and kept a barking. Amen. And he went out on the porch and yelled and hollered and screamed at the dog, hush, shut up. Went back to bed and the dog started barking and barking and barking. Amen. And finally he got up after almost an hour nonstop. Amen. He looked around. No burglars, no prowlers. He said, you know, maybe God's trying to tell me something. Amen. He fell down on his knees, began to pray. God gave him a burden. The dog hushed. Amen. All the time God had to use a dog, whether it's a donkey for Balaam or a dog for you. I don't care what it is. If you'll just wake up and get a burden, amen, for somebody that's dying and going to hell. Come on. We can't stay late for church. Shoney's will close. I love to eat and fellowship as much as anybody. Amen. We sat there last night with some from Brother Evans' church. We didn't get home till about 2:30 this morning. And I love to fellowship, but there's a time to push a plate back and get in touch with God. And I'm telling you, the holiness churches across our nation have stopped doing it. Amen. Come on now. I can feel you tightening down a little bit. I'm going to close her down here in just a minute. But oh, how many of us could say that we've been saved tonight because of a praying mama or daddy? How many of us could say that we're here tonight because our moms and dads called our name in a back room somewhere? I've got a good mama back in Alabama. I can remember my teenage years when I was being tempted with drugs, when I was being tempted with the opposite sex, when I was being tempted with alcohol. Amen. Sometimes I was just tempted to get out of church, period, for no other reason, just quit. I can remember many a time walking in the door and hearing my mama whining and crying, saying, God, help my boy to hold on. Help him to know that holiness is right. Amen. Help him to know that heaven is real and that you love him. Amen. That you care for him and you'll help him to overcome the enemy. My pastor, Brother Henry Shepherd, who was supposed to come by and preach for you all here, I think, at one time and didn't get to. He was a police officer at one time. Amen. And he went one night. They gave him a warrant, said, go arrest this guy. Amen. He left out, got in his police car and headed down the road. Pulled up at that man's house. At the very instant that he knocked on the door, his mother and daddy was laying in the bed. And they said his mother sat straight up and shook her husband. Amen. And said, listen, God just told me that Henry needs help. We better pray right now. They got out of bed and fell down on their knees. Amen. When my pastor knocked on the door, amen, and said, police, amen, the door was yanked open. A double barrel shotgun was stuck right between his eyes. And the guy said, I'm going to kill you. Amen. And he said, I was lost without God, with a holiness mom and dad at home. He said, I knew. He said, I stared down the barrel. Amen. He said, I had a revolver on my side. There was no way I could have got to it. Amen. He said, I stared down the barrel of a gun. He said, the only thought that went through my mind, Henry, you're going to hell. Amen. You're going to die right here on this man's part. But a mama had a burden. A mama seen the enemy coming. She wasn't standing there, but she was looking from a long way off. And she was crying, God save my boy. And the man backed down and put the gun up. Amen. Brother Willie Ray Gentry, I don't know if any of you ever knew him. Amen. Preacher from down our way that died, amen, here just a couple of years ago. Brother Willie Ray, before he got saved, was working. Amen. He worked with a construction, amen, firm, and they were putting together some type of commercial building. And he stepped on an I-beam that the crane was going to take up to another floor. Amen. And he told him, said, take me up. And he was holding on. And when that crane was raising that big old beam, amen, he swung around and that beam swung out. Amen. And swung right into a power line. His mother was standing at her kitchen sink, washing dishes. Amen. Said, God hit her and just said, Willie Ray. Amen. She fell down to her knees. Amen. Brother Willie Ray was hit with over 400 volts and fell off of that I-beam and hit the ground. They said it busted his hard hat and blood was coming from his ears, from his nose. They rushed him to the hospital and said he will die within the next 2 hours. Amen. And his mother did not know, but they said she was in the kitchen and crying, saying, God save my boy. Amen. They come in, said, what's wrong? She said, God spoke his name. He's in trouble. He's in trouble. It wasn't but just a little while that they got the call. Go to the hospital. Amen. She went and laid there. But God raised him up. God healed him. Made him a wholeness preacher. One of the greatest pastors I ever knew. You know why? Because she had a burden. But if she would have said, I'm too busy, I need to finish these dishes, I need to mop this floor, you know what she would have had? Guilt at what she should have done. All should have been left with is saying, my boy's in hell, and I could have prayed. If she'd have said, oh, I need to finish the meal, I need to sweep the floor, I need to mop, amen, should have been left with guilt. Remember what I said guilt was? A feeling of being inadequate. Amen. God's not inadequate, but we, the church, stand that way because we're too busy to get a burden. I'm not going to kid with you, church. A burden's work. Amen. It's a load. Man, it'll cause you to cry. It'll cause you to weep and fast. It'll cause you to stay home when people are wanting you to go out and fellowship. But, oh, wouldn't it be better to miss a Shoney's meal, amen, or whatever Bob Evans you got around here? Wouldn't it be better to push back and miss a good steak to keep your girl out of the abortion clinic? Amen. Wouldn't it be better, amen, to miss a salad bar and some fellowship with the preacher to keep your boy from putting cocaine in a spoon and heating it up? Amen. Wouldn't it be better than watching him take that Budweiser or whatever it is and pop the top and turn the bottle up? Oh yeah, children are in trouble today, but a lot of their troubles is because mom and daddy dropped their burdens. Amen. And when the trouble has happened, when the judge has put the gavel down and said, I hereby sentence you. Amen. Children and teenagers can get in the silliest mistakes. We've got a young man, as I'm closing, down home. Amen. Teenage boy, well, I guess he's about 20 now. Raised in holiness. Amen. Should have stayed in the house of God. He got with some boys. They weren't real mean. I mean, they weren't hardened criminals. They decided to rob a house. Just break in, take a few things. Amen. Down in a little place called Auburn, Alabama. Amen. They weren't going to hurt anybody. If anybody's home, they wasn't even going to stay there. They were just going to break in, steal some cash. And they did. Just got some change. They didn't know it, but they took some coins that was in a box. Just change. That's what they thought. Bless their heart, they're too dumb to even know what they're stealing. They were highly valued antique coins. That boy's in a maximum security prison in Alabama. Just for stealing coins? Yeah. The prisons are so overcrowded, they had to put him the only place that had open, and he's in a maximum security prison with homosexuals, HIV-positive people, amen, drug addicts, and everything else. You know what he told my pastor? He said, I blamed everybody else in my life. He said, but if I'd have just prayed and stayed in church, he said, I'd been all right. He said, I don't blame nobody for this but me. God help us to have a burden. Sometimes we'll get a burden for our own selves. You know that? When our souls are in trouble. If they've got maybe a piano player, Brother Benny could come, let us get a song if they would. Amen. I want to give an altar call tonight. I don't know how you do it here. Amen. But I want you to stand to your feet across this church. I'd like to preach you a shouting message tonight, but this is what God laid on my heart for this church. Amen. I appreciate you for listening to me. Appreciate you for allowing me to preach to you tonight. But church, I'm telling you, we need a burden. If you can't get a burden for your family, get one for mine. I've got folks down in Alabama that sin's tearing them apart. I've got a backslid brother that's running from God. And he's running every way that he knows how. And he's so bitter. He fights against the church. I told him the other day, I said, you're not mad at the church. You're mad at yourself. I keep a burden in my heart for his soul. If you can't find anybody to pray for him. Oh, I've got family. I've seen divorce after divorce right in my own family. Amen. People said, I don't love so-and-so. I had a cousin the other day. Amen. His name is Carl. Carl was raised around holiness all his life. Amen. He never did really get in. He wasn't an in and outer. He was a good moral boy. He dated a young lady for like 3 years. And they were married. They've been married now for about 3 years. She come home the other day, found a note on the refrigerator. I don't love you anymore. I'm leaving. Amen. Church, if we've ever needed a burden, we need it today. Amen. Because after it's over with, all we'll be left with is guilt. Guilt does not need to replace our burdens. As they sing, amen, and play tonight, whatever they want to do, amen, would you come pray? Would you come pray tonight? Would you come pray and say, God, give me a burden for my church and my family. Give me a burden for my pastor. Come on.